for our brother. Ask God just a moment. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we thank you for what we're about to receive. Lord, we sit down at the banquet table this morning to be served by Brother Eddie. And we pray, Lord, this word that you have birthed in his heart, that you have motivated his heart to study, Lord, that we would receive it for what it truly is, the word of God. Lord, let your anointing and blessing be upon our brother. Lord, anoint our hearts, our ears, our mind, and our will to act. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. My pleasure. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I really feel good about this message, so I'm going to say that I know the theme of the church has been the Holy Spirit, amen? And Donovan mentioned it this morning about, brother, you kind of got into my message a little bit, so I know it's God's confirmation, about how we should be on the offensive, amen? God has called us to be a warrior-type mentality nation, right? That we're supposed to be kicking the devil's butt. Not us, like, and that was excellent when you talked about the foxhole. You know, he was talking about George Patton, how he was always on the offensive, and he said, I don't believe in digging in and digging a foxhole because really that's just a grave. I was like, ooh, man, that hit me to the heart. And we got to have that same kind of mentality. I mean, I know sometimes we can get weary from the battle, you know, and then we do have to take a small step back just to refresh ourselves, you know. Get into the word, prayer, very important. The prayer is very important. You know, that's our communication to God, you know. And as we're going to see in this message, you know, God has given us things to help us. You know, he's equipped us for the battle, like Donovan was saying. He talked about also about the armor of God. Brother, you've been stealing my notes. But, you know, the armor of God, a lot of times we think of it as a defensive thing. But really, it's an offensive thing. And one thing I didn't mention, Donovan, you were talking about the sword of the Spirit. When you read it, you think like that's the only offensive weapon you got is the sword of the Spirit. But then Donovan was using the example of the shield. You can use that to bash your enemy out of the way. If you've seen the movie 300, you've seen how they stopped a mighty force and they just pushed them back and they just started killing them. But not only that, but when I did the study on the armor of God, even the helmet, you know, the Romans, when it got to the point where in the middle of the battle, because sometimes they might have been fighting two guys at once, and they lost their spear or their sword, and somehow maybe lost their shield, they used to rip off their helmet and just bash people upside the head. And I was going to mention that to Sammy, because I know he played football. Can you imagine if you were just standing there and one of these football players took off their helmet and just bashed you upside the head, man? I mean, you'd get knocked out. So, yeah, you're right. The armor of God is an offensive weapon. Amen? But it also protects us. So, I know that the Holy Spirit empowers us. Amen? By a show of hands, how many at one time or another in their life were led by the Holy Spirit? At least once, right? Raquel, no? Never? You want me to call you up here, Raquel? Okay. I know the Holy Spirit's ministered to her. Now, did it feel good? Just one amen?
Yes.
Come on, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, a gift of God. Come on, let's wake up here. I'm excited about this word. I know when it used me, I felt really good. I mean, the first time it tried to use me, I didn't use it. I shared that story before. I was sitting like right behind Raquel. And I heard a sovereign, I heard a sovereign word from the Lord. And I know it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And right away, like Donovan was talking about this morning, we can allow the enemy to come in and rob us, to deceive us. Because I got nervous, you know, it's the first time I ever got a word. But I heard it as clear as day, as like I'm talking to you now. It was precise, it was clear, and right away, you get nervous, you start sweating, my hands started shaking, and the enemy came in and said, man, you're just hearing things. That wasn't from God. Who are you to hear from God? So I didn't stand up and share it. But wouldn't you know, as soon as I made that decision that I wasn't going to share it, there was a young lady over here that stood up and shared the exact same word. You know, and I just felt horrible. I felt horrible. Like here, my father wanted me to share something with his kids, and I didn't share it, you know. But I learned from that, you know. Like, I learned from that point on that never will I let the enemy deceive me again, because my father, even though I didn't share that, and it was going to be a blessing for me as well as everybody else, you're not going to stop the will of God. He still made sure that you guys got that word, so don't stone me. But it built my confidence to know that I will never doubt myself again, that my Father does speak to me through the Spirit of God. Amen? So what I was going to say is, I know when I first got that word the next time, and I shared it, and I felt good, it was right on, it kind of reminded me of, you know, when you're sitting back, I'm talking to the married couples here, when you're sitting back on maybe a Saturday night, and you're watching a good movie, and you're snuggled up with your wife or your husband on the couch, and, you know, you kind of sneak over a little bit closer, and then you kind of make that sly move to put your hand around, arm around her, and you kind of look her in the eye, and the twinkles start going, and then you reach for that bag of Lay's potato chips. You know what I'm talking about. You crack open that bag, psh, and that smell, it's like, oh, you grab that first chip, and you eat it, and we know the saying, right? Can't just eat one, right? Well, that's how I feel about the Holy Spirit. I hunger for the Holy Spirit, that once I felt that, I want it again. Once is not enough. You know what I mean? And more we step out in faith, and more we're attentive to the Holy Spirit, God will use us. Amen? In Acts 2:38, it says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Now, when I read that, and I already knew it, but, you know, I just wanted to get into my notes, I thought about that for a second. And this was kind of funny, because if we can be honest, how many times, like on a birthday or maybe Christmas or some kind of special occasion, you receive a gift from a close family or a friend, right? You open it up and you're like, oh, thanks. Like, what is this? You know, a sweater with some kind of weird thing on it or some ugly tie. Not this tie, of course, but not this tie. But some ugly tie, what happens? That thing just goes on the back shelf, amen, because we ain't never going to use it again, right? But when God gives us that gift, we can't do that. I mean, this is a gift from our Father, our Holy Father, amen? And He gives the gift to help us, to strengthen us. And as we're going to see as I read on, the Holy Spirit does a lot of things for us. It's a special gift. It says, not only does He distribute spiritual gifts according to His will, in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, and I cut this kind of short, it says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The gifts are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines." Think about that. You know, now I thought about when we're kids, and I see it today with my grandkids. How many times do they go, "Oh, hey, Papa, I want that. Grandma, I want that. Grandma, I need that. You don't understand. I got to have that." Right? And sometimes that's how we get with our Father. "Oh, God, I got to have this. God, I got to have that. And I need this. You don't understand. I've got to have this to move on." You know? Red, don't. Right? But who knows better than we do? Our Creator. Amen? He knows exactly what we need. We don't know what we need. With us, it's just about what? Want. It's what we want to have. Whether the thoughts are pure or not, I'm not going to go there, but for us, it's wants. But with the Holy Spirit, it's what you need. Amen? God has called us all, to each and every one of us, a certain purpose in this life. And He's going to equip us with what we need for that purpose to succeed. Amen? And don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not bad to have feelings, to do great things. But, I mean, I think of David. Good thing Roger ain't here. I think of David. He kept wanting to build a temple. God didn't want him to build a temple. You know, it wasn't his calling. You know what I'm saying? And we can do that too. We can have good intent. We can sit there and spin our wheels. And that's not what God has called us to do. That's for someone else. You know? Yes, it's the truth, you know? We're too busy spinning our wheels of trying to do something that we feel is good or right, but that's not what God has called us to do. When we want to know what God wants us to do, what do we got to do? We got to pray and seek out the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell us what we need to do. Amen? The Holy Spirit also comforts us in our time of need. And I will ask you, the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. This is when Jesus was going to be leaving. Now, I remember when I was younger, I talked to Pastor John, and I always had this mentality like, you know what, Pastor John, it wasn't fair. Why was it fair that back in those days that Jesus walked amongst the people and we don't get that opportunity? You know what I mean? And Pastor John said, well, Eddie, to tell you the truth, had Jesus been here on this time with us walking this earth, we probably would have did the same thing that those people did back then. And I never thought of it that way. But he also told me, but actually, we got a greater gift. Because Jesus just said here, he will give you another counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. Pastor John said he walked on the earth for a few short years. He was about his Father's business. He only had a short time. But because of what he went through, we get the Holy Spirit forever. Forever. I never thought of it that way. He opened my eyes to that. The Holy Spirit also teaches us. In John 14:26, it says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. So, we don't ever have to fear of what we need to say or what we're going to do or how we need to act, because if we rely on the Holy Spirit, he's our counselor. He will help us. He will instruct us. He will teach us on what to say, on what to do, and how to act. And this I never even knew. The Holy Spirit remains in us as a seal of promise. In Ephesians 1:13 it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Wow. That was like, wow. That's how I even wrote that down there. Wow. I never knew that. We're marked. And then when I looked in my footnotes, it says, in those days, a seal denoted ownership and security. God owns us. And in knowing that, we can be secure to know our Father is with us. He's bought us. He owns us. Like Donovan was saying upstairs, we screw up sometimes and we feel we're not worthy. But you know what? God already knew that in advance. Right, Donovan? God already knew that. It would be the enemy that would want you to pull you away from your Father. To say, oh, I'm not worthy. I sinned. But the fact of the matter is, he knew we were going to fall short. That's why he had to have that sacrifice. Because without it, we would all fall short. All of us. You know, I was sharing this with my son the other day. I don't know what we were talking about, but I said, hey, in Jesus' time of need, at that very hour, the men that he spent most of his life with here on earth, they all took off. They left him. They took off. They were afraid. They were scared. But Jesus already knew that. He knew that. And so he still, through the Holy Spirit, did what he had to do. And then when he saw them again, when he rose on that glorious third day, baby, there was no stopping those disciples then. Then it, like, reality set in. Amen? Like, the vision was there. They knew that this was really the true Messiah. This was really the true Son of God. And with that in them, that seal, because they received the Holy Spirit, I think they said in 2 weeks they got the Holy Spirit. Whew, there was no stopping them. Nothing would stop them. And we have that same seal in us because he already died 2,000 years ago. And that seal remains in us always and forever. Amen? That's awesome. It's unfathomable sometimes. But I'm going to say that there's many ways that the gift can be with us and empower us for all types of works. And I'm going to do something a little unorthodox here. I'm going to have a couple of brothers and sisters come up and share. Because, you know, I can speak it from here, and I even got a story I want to share myself. But I think it's more real when you can look out and see your brothers and sisters among you share a story about how the Holy Spirit just empowered them, knowing that it's real, it's right before you. It's not something they made up, it's part of their life. And I'm sure if I had the time, I could take each and every one of you and have you come up here and share an awesome story. Amen? So I'm going to go ahead and start off with my brother Fred. Because when I heard this story, when he shared this story a while ago, it actually empowered my spirit to know when you hear this story. And I know some of you have heard it, but there's some here that haven't. So go ahead, brother.
All right. I didn't know I was going to be part of the teaching today, but this is, I'll make it quick. It's when I was first coming to church, and I was attending church, but, you know, somewhat committed, I guess you could say. Wasn't in my word, and, you know, just a little bit. But I was at work, and, you know, guys started, they started razzing me about going to church. It was an incident before where, you know, I told a couple people that, you know, I started going to church. So now, you know, when you're working with concrete, you're working about around 10 people. You know, in a small area. So the guys just started razzing me about going to church. You know, so, you know, I could feel the blood pressure starting to build up, you know, and you want to just, like, go off on somebody. But I just started, you know, just started telling them scriptures. And I can't, the one scripture I remember that saying, because I started, Ed called me the other day, and I started thinking, like, what did I say? You know, and I really can't remember what I said, you know, back then. You know, but nothing that I really knew. I don't know if it was, you know, what I heard from the pulpit, what I picked up from being in church, the little bit I was in church. But all this just started coming out. And the one I remember was, I live in this world, not for this world, you know, anymore. You know, and I didn't know that was even in the Bible, you know. And it kind of empowered me because now I wanted to learn more because, you know, and it kind of shut them guys up, so I was kind of happy with that, you know. But instead of me getting anger and violence towards them, it was the wisdom of the Lord that shut them up.
Amen.
So, yeah, so it kind of gave me the strength, too, to, you know, start reading and start, you know, saying, hey, this stuff's real. You know,
Amen.
So, hey, that's it.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. So we can clearly see that this was a case where the Holy Spirit actually was guiding him on what to say. Because he said a couple of those scriptures he had never even heard before. You know? I mean, he might have heard them in passing up here or something, but it was nothing that he really studied. And then the scripture I looked up for that, for his story, was Luke 12, 11 and 12. And listen to this. It says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Jesus, man, is that awesome or what? I mean, this is the Word of God. And he's telling you, don't worry. I got you. I got your back. Now, I'm going to share my own story, and this is a great one. I've shared it many times. I had just got called back to GM. I was out in Flint, Buick City, and I, you know, coming right to the plant, I was kind of new, so I had to get on the line. I was working on the line. Whew. Brother, you don't know how blessed you are. You haven't been online. But anyways, I'm talking to Ray over there. But anyways, I had this job where we had to throw the wire harnesses in, and they're in a bundle, and you got to unwrap them, and you start snapping in all the things. Well, this guy across from me, he's kind of like my partner. We started talking. Now, he reminded me, if you can believe this or not, he reminded me of a young Pastor Don. This guy must have read 2,000 books. He was one of those bookaholics, you know, and he had a lot of knowledge of the things he was talking about. He was reading all these books, of course, so most of his knowledge was coming from the books. But the thing of it was, he read so many books, he could speak on anything, kind of, you know. So, you know, I put in for another job, and I wound up getting away from him. And then one day, I'm sitting there eating lunch with a couple buddies that I was working with in my new job, and he comes over. Now, mind you, there's just four of us at this little table, and he just walks right up, uninvited, looks us all in the eye and says, "You know there's aliens mining on the moon." And we're like, what did he say? I won't tell you what the other brother said. But he was like, "What the bloop, bloop, bloop?" And he goes, "No, really. They're up there mining on the moon right now." I'm like, "What the?" And then he's looking at me, and these guys are looking at me. He's like, "Is this your buddy?" And I'm like, "I know of them." Later on, I start talking to him. I'm trying to share the word of God, what little I knew back then. And he's like, "Oh, no. Yeah, there's a God. But you know, when the three wise men were going to see Jesus' birth, you know, that wasn't the star leading them." I go, "It wasn't? Well, what was it then?" He goes, "It was the mothership." Oh, bro, man. And see, I know it's funny, but this can really happen. I mean, these people get so involved in all this information that they start cross-referencing it, and especially with the Bible. And you see how crazy that can get? So, in concluding this story, because at that point, I said, "Brother, you're missing the mark, man. You need to find Jesus, brother." You know? So, it was about a week later. I hadn't seen him. I had to use the restroom. When I got done, I was washing my hands, and I look up, and he's standing there. And it was just him and I in the bathroom. And he looks me in the eye, and he says, "What are you going to do if you die and you find out there's no God?" And man, like I said, I was young in the Lord. I'm like, it's kind of like Fred, like, "Oh, God, how do I answer that, you know?" And I just felt this warmth come over me. Now, I don't know if it was my blood pressure, Fred, but it was some kind of warmth coming over me. And I believe it now, looking back on it, it was the Holy Spirit. And I said, "Well, let me answer that." I said, "Okay, if I die and there is no God," I said, "what did I really lose? I lived a righteous life. I didn't do drugs or get drunk anymore. I didn't cheat on my wife. I wasn't a bad father. I served a God that I thought was real. So what did I really lose?" I said, "But let me ask you something." I said, "What are you going to do if you die and there is a God?" And for the first time, in all that time that I met him, he had nothing to say. All that knowledge just left him because he had no answer. And I never saw him again. And then shortly after that, I got transferred to Lansing. But I want to say here, the scripture I find from my story was 1 Corinthians 2:13. It says, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." And I might not have been like Fred quoting scripture, but those were spiritual words. Because I believe that was the Holy Spirit trying to warn him that there is a God. You better get it right. You know? We need to study God's Word. Pastors are always getting on us about that. Because how are we going to know our God? How are we going to share our God? How are we going to defend our faith if we don't know the story behind our God? You know? I mean, Joe and Alex, how long have you guys been married?
12 years.
Don't speak, Joe. 12 years. 12 years. Now, in that 12 years, you probably know Joe better than any of us, don't you? I hope so, too. But I would bet my bottom dollar that you do. But you live with him. You know what I'm saying? You spend all your time with him. And that's why you know him. So how much more should we know our Father? Amen? I remember when Pastor Don did that study at the colleges. And they had like a Muslim, they had an atheist, and they had a Christian. And you know how Pastor Don has those tests that he gives you? The atheist failed, of course. The Muslim was kind of like halfway there. And the Christian failed. Like, I can't remember the questions he asked them, but they couldn't answer it. And Pastor Don was saying, see, that's why we got to get into our Word. We should be able to step to the forefront and explain who our God is, what he stands for, what's the Holy Spirit, what was Jesus' purpose, you know, what is our purpose now in life, and how we can back that up by his word, you know? That's why it's so important that we study the Word of God. Now, I'm going to have Bob share his story. Come on up, Bob. This story was hilarious. So,
good morning. Real fast, it started out that I seem to get myself in trouble when I walk into a hospital. If there's any place that you want to go, if you don't have a ministry, go to a hospital or go to a nursing home. There's all kind of needs there, believe me. But at the time before this, the last time I was at the hospital, I took my wife to emergency. She was having stomach pains. And I started praying for somebody. And I started praying for somebody. It was like a line up here at church, you know, for the prayer team. All of a sudden, the line's empty, and I look over at the nurse, and where's my wife? She's been back with the doctor for half an hour. I said, oh, am I in trouble? So it isn't going to happen this time. I'm going to the hospital just to have some x-rays, and my leg was bothering me. I say, I'm going to stay out of trouble. Don't happen. That's like what I was saying really was I'm going to hide from the Holy Spirit. Ain't happening. I get me a cup of coffee, a nice little car magazine. I go to the front door where there's no action, just people coming in, you know, checking in, going on. Sit right down there by the front door. I am safe here. One sup of coffee, and I hear wheels screaming, doors fly open. Here comes this guy. They got him in a desk chair. Not even a, this was an emergency. He's in a desk chair, and they're wheeling this guy in. And I turn and look, and I'm right next to the door, and my nose almost hits a knife sticking out of him. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what is going on here? He's crying, yelling. They got him about halfway in, and he stops and says, I'm dying, I'm dying. I can't die like this. Can somebody pray for me? I swear to goodness, it was like one of those movies or those fake plays you see where all of a sudden, for dramatic effect, this is how it seemed to me, that everybody just shut up and I got my coffee. I'm shaking, spilling half of it. All right. Start praying for them. I guess right behind the reception, they take people up to for operations, so they grabbed him. The guy with him turned out to be an undercover agent. So I guess he had got shot, stabbed, and thrown out of a second-story window. And they're taking him up in the elevator. I go with him. You know, I'm praying. So they said, well, we got to take him. He said, well, come with me. So I'm still praying for him. As we're going up the elevator, I got my hand on him. I notice he's carrying a gun. And I say to him, the guy has a gun. And the guards there carry guns. I don't know how well trained they were, but all of a sudden when I said gun, they all drew their guns and pointed at me. Not me, him. You know, it's a small elevator. Stops on the next, and the Detroit police get in. There's about six of us in here, and I'm the only one without a gun. They've all got their guns on me. So the guy, I pray for the guy, and, you know, I honestly don't even remember what I said to him or what he said back. They take him in. I'm getting ready to go, and I hear the cops. Where are you going? Tell us what happened here. I don't know what happened. I'm sitting down here. They thought I was with them, and I don't know anything. It took me another hour. I missed my appointment explaining to the police in this back room what had happened. Finally, they believed me because nobody could make up a story like this, you know. But to make a long story short, after that, we got a call once for me to come down to FBI headquarters. And I'm thinking, FBI? And make a statement about this. I'm wondering, what in the world? And then my wife says, you notice that date's a Saturday. Called, they're not open on Saturday. It was like 9:30 in the morning. I go down there, and what it was this guy was, I guess, some enforcer for a gang or something, drugs or something. I guess he turned state's evidence, and they were putting him in witness protection, but he wouldn't go in until he talked to me to thank me for what I did. And what did I do? I tried to hide from the Holy Spirit. So listen, you can't hide from the Holy Spirit. Right, Eddie?
That's right. That was good. And again, we can see that Bob only shared with this man what the Holy Spirit had told him. And we need to be careful not to add or take away what the Holy Spirit has said. We can't get too involved, you know what I'm saying? We can't let the situation become us. Because then we try and micromanagers or something like that. No, we just have to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is. Nothing more, nothing less. Amen? We need to be obedient to God in the Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, 18, it says, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is very important that we continually pray with our Father. Not only does this keep our hearts and minds open to the Holy Spirit's leading, it also allows the Spirit to speak on our behalf. Amen? Donovan was just saying, again, upstairs, you know, it's like you got those Bose headphones on. If that's all blaring in your mind, you can't hear the Holy Spirit. Amen? We've got to have a set aside time. And Donovan, I admire you for staying up in your closet because, brother, you go to the closet, I go to the dungeon. I want to be like Paul. I get down in my basement in that dungeon. And Donna knows once I go down there, it's over. She can do anything. Go shopping. That's scary. Get her hair done. That's scary. Drive my truck. That's scary. But I got to have faith in the Holy Spirit that he's going to watch over her. No, but I do the same thing. I go down there. I get in the presence of the God. And I don't, nothing exists. I was just like you. I got done with my message at like 12:30 at night. I know that doesn't even touch you, Pastor John, but I'm getting there. I come upstairs, my wife's snoring. So that was my, you know, I sacrifice through the Holy Spirit for my Father and for you guys, amen? Okay, I got one more story. My wife, let's hear it for her, man. She didn't want to do this, but I kind of made her an offer. She couldn't refuse.
It was the time when we were going on vacation, and, you know, I always prayed that the Lord would use me, and we were young in the Lord, and we were going down this two-lane highway because I wanted a pie, and in Ohio, you can go down those two-lane highways, and people make them in their homes, so we were coming back from there, and this car whips by us, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's going to kill somebody. Well, just up ahead, we were going around a turn, and it was a sharp curve, and Eddie had to throw on his brakes, and we almost didn't make it. Well, up ahead of us was that car, and it was flipped over. So Eddie got out to help them, and while I was sitting there, I felt the Lord say, you need to go over there and pray for that man. And so I got out, and I went over there, and he was on the ground. He was screaming. He had all kinds of glass in his eyes. I can't see. There's glass in my eyes, and so the Lord spoke to me and said, ask him if he wants to receive me. So I asked him, I said, do you know the Lord? And he was like, no, and I'm so bad, he would never want to know me. And so I said, well, he died for you. So I talked to him about salvation. I said, do you want to receive the Lord? And so I prayed with him. He received the Lord. Ambulance took him. And as they were leaving, I said, hey, what hospital are you taking him to? So they told me. And then later on, I called that hospital, and the guy, I got the guy's name, and I said, is so-and-so still there? And they said, oh, no, he was released. And I told Eddie, I said, I really feel that God healed him because he had blood all over. His eyes were, he couldn't see, couldn't open his eyes. And I said, I really feel that God healed him, and God's going to use that to draw him near her, to him, that he'll serve him. So we went on further with our vacation, went to Kings Island. We're taking the kids to Kings Island. And while we were standing in line, there was a lady in front of me. And she had a little girl, probably about 5 years old. She was on an oxygen tent. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to take that little girl home. And I was like, oh, my God. And my heart broke for her. He goes, I want you to pray for her. Now, I argued with him. I did. I'm like, that's too sensitive, Lord. I'm not going to pray over this little girl. She's dying, and her mom's probably having a hard time. She probably don't want nobody bothering her. And the Holy Spirit just kept saying, you got to pray for her. So I tapped the lady on the shoulder. I started a conversation with her. I said, you know, would you mind if I prayed for your daughter and for you? And she said, she started crying. She says, I was praying for somebody to encourage me today. And she said, and you are encouraging me just by praying for me. So I prayed for the little girl, and I prayed for the ma that God would help her through, because she really probably thought possibly God would heal her daughter, but the Lord already told me he was taking her home. But, you know, when we trust God and we do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, when God's telling us to do something and we do it, God will be faithful. And I know that God moved in that situation, even with him taking that little girl home. I know that that's going to be in that mom's eyes forever, like in her mind, in that guy's mind.
Okay, I got one more script. Well, the scripture I got for that story was Romans 8, 26, 27. And it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us and groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. We can sometimes never know the day or the hour the Holy Spirit will call upon us to do God's work, but we must prepare ourselves daily by reading his word and praying to our Father. Amen. Pastor Dondage.
I was listening to these stories, and I want to share something about what happened with my son, Phil. Most of you know he's a police officer down in Grapevine, Texas. And about a week and a half ago, and this goes right along with your message, being led by the Spirit, and there's times you just don't know you're being led by the Spirit. And you're in the middle of a situation like Bob, you're sitting there having a coffee, next thing you know, you're in an elevator, guns pointed at you, and, you know, how did I get myself into this predicament? You know, another fine mess you've gotten me into. So my son Phil calls me, and if you know Phil, very energetic, very outgoing, and anytime something happens, you know, Dad, I had a dead body today. You ought to have seen it. It was cool, you know. You know, okay, you're going to see dead bodies on your, you know, as a police officer, and he'll call me and tell me everything that he's doing. So he called me about a week and a half ago, and he said, oh, Dad, I was up, you know, he runs their alcohol enforcement. So he was up on the freeway, and there was a car going the wrong way. And so they radioed, and he just happened to be there, and he got, and he's chasing this car down. He got in front of it and stopped it, and, you know, he was, Dad, you know, I stopped the car, you know, somebody could have been killed, and blah, 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 and he's patting himself on the back, and, son, that's great. You know, you did a good job. I hope they give you a medal or something. So the other day, I get a call from him. He says, Dad, I got to tell you what happened last night. He says, you remember that car that was up on the freeway? I said, yeah. He says, I had another incident like that last night. He said, there was a car going the wrong way, and they got a call, and I just happened to be there. And he said, I got in front of it like I did before, turned on the lights, siren, all that, and the car shot around him. And went down the road and hit another car head on. Well, the guy that went around him was immediately killed. But the car that he hit, the man was still alive. So he got out and, you know, he put the call in. You got to wait, you know, it could be 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes sometimes for that EMS or the fire department, whoever's going to come. And this guy was crushed in the driver's side. And he was on his way home. I don't know if he was on his way home from work, but he was older. He was about my age, you know, 57, 58. And Phil got out, and, you know, you okay? Yeah, but, you know, I think my legs are broken and blah, 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 blah. So my son Phil says, well, do you think I can pray for you? So, you know, you're thrown into that situation. And so he's praying with them, and the guy says, hey, you know, can you contact my wife and let her know, you know, I was in an accident, blah, blah, blah. And Phil, you know, he prays with the guy. Hey, you know, yeah, I'll do that. I'll take care of it. So the EMS and rescue get there, and they get the jaws of life out, and they begin to separate. And as soon as the pressure was relieved, he died. Right in Phil's hands. So he calls me, and he's, you know, I can tell him, I said, something wrong, you know. There's something not right with him. And he began just crying. Dad, you know, and it wasn't like before, you know, because you show up and sometimes you think, oh, that bum, he probably deserved it, you know. But here was a guy that he was just speaking with, praying with hand to hand, and was there, you know, kind of grasping the guy's hand. And as that pressure was relieved, kind of like that movie, you know, you've seen the movie where somebody's pinned against a tree or something and the pressure's relieved and they're dead. So he called me, he was crying. I said, Phil, hey, you're the right man in the right spot. You got, you know, trying to really encourage him. And we know, just like in Bob's situation, that God had him there. You know, this guy's getting ready to cross over. You're there praying with him, and then he asks you to call his family. What words of encouragement in a tough time, you know, for this family? Hey, I spoke to him. I got to pray with him, blah, 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 you know. So he was pretty bummed out about it, went back in, and a day or two later, he still kind of really shook up about what had happened. And he goes into the station, and there's a lady in there. And she says, you don't know me, but you saved my life. And he's like, how did I save your life? You know, I don't even know you, lady. She was, from the first incident, the car that was coming the other way that Phil cut in front of the car where nobody was hurt and got it stopped. And she said, I just felt led. I had to come and tell you thank you for saving my life. And so as you guys were sharing these stories, I couldn't help but think, see, sometimes we're put in situations that we don't know how the Spirit of God is going to lead us or guide us. On one hand, the guy died, but he was able to pray with him. Another didn't even know the woman, but it was, I believe, the Spirit of God moving upon her to come in. She could have just went on her merry way and never said anything. She wasn't hurt. She wasn't anything. But in her mind, she realized that God had protected her, and she wanted to thank that officer. And so it really encouraged Phil, you know, that here he was really distraught over what had happened, but yet God, he will use you, and then he sends somebody else. And Pastor John uses this scripture all the time in 1 Corinthians, with the comfort that you've received, comfort others. And so that's just to encourage you, too, that the Spirit of God works. You never know where you're going to end up, how God's going to work it for his glory some way. And so for Phil, too, I know that it was just God showing him. He's faithful to him in all circumstances. You know, we don't know the end from the beginning. We just got to trust that when we walk with God, that he's there guiding us through that valley of the shadow of death. And when we come out, he's there, and he's working some other way to encourage us, just like in Bob or with Don or with many of the others. So I just really felt when I'm sitting up there, I'm thinking, well, I got to share that because it meant so much to him and how God encouraged him. Where he thought he had failed. And he may have seen it as a failure. The Spirit of God really used it as a victory and then brought somebody back by to really encourage him.
Amen. 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 I'm glad you shared that, Pastor Don. So in closing, if I could have the prayer team come up, I would just urge you, if you don't feel like you're quite where you need to be, you know what I'm talking about, because sometimes we get tired, we get bogged down with the things in life, come on up for prayer today. Get rejuvenated. Get a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, amen? Because if we want to be world changers, because we're called to be world changers, we need to be in our game, amen? Because like Donovan shared this morning, the enemy's out there to destroy us. You know, I remember when we had the youth group, I had to always pound that home to them. I said, you know, the devil ain't this cartoon character you see, red with horns and a long tail and a pitchfork, you know? I said, he's like Donovan's word up there, you know, he's the father of lies. He's the father of deceit. He comes in ever so slyly to get you off your game. But you have to realize that he hates you. He wants to kill you if he could. Because everything that God stands for, he's against. That's where you got the light and the darkness. Amen? But the light will always outdo the darkness. So I urge you again, come on up for prayer. Get a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Get into your word. Pray continuously and have joy in all circumstances. Amen? And you'll see the Lord work in your life. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Well, hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just thank you for this word today, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would equip ourselves each and every day, Father God. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we don't want it to just sit on a shelf, Lord God. Father, we want to use it. Use it for your glory, Lord, to bless ourselves, bless others, Lord God, save others, Lord God. In all these circumstances, all these stories we've heard, Lord God, I pray that it would burn in our hearts and our minds. And Father, that it would encourage us to step out in faith, Lord God, knowing that you have our back in all circumstances, Lord God. Father, I just pray a blessing over your people, Lord God. Bless us this week, Lord. Use us, Father, to further your kingdom. And we thank you for your many blessings. In the mighty name of Jesus. And they all said, Amen. Amen. Amen.